We grow into wisdom through the transitional qualities of humanity, honesty, affection, compassion, hope, faith, meekness, temperance. Always remembering, that which I am seeking, I am. How can affection and compassion for one another be expressed while we still appear in this Adam dream? In Mrs. Eddy's article, Veritas Odium Parit, Truth Brings Forth Hatred, in miscellaneous writings, she teaches that you can meet hatred by separating sin from the individual, seeing him as a child of God and loving him, even while you are hating the sin that he manifests. This message is firmly taking root. In today's news media, we frequently read or hear people say, "I don't hate him. I hate what he did." Or, "Let's hate the evil instead of each other," showing how a new awareness of divine facts is dawning. We can silently maintain that each individual possesses every quality and attribute of God. Mortals, not yet aware that they are scientifically loved by our Heavenly Father, Mother, Divine Principle, seem to need a good dose of encouragement and outside approval. Praise for a work well done is always welcome. Do you know anyone who suffers from too much praise? But many people have been criticized so much that when they are complimented, they can't believe it. It's therefore important in praising someone that we don't exceed that person's tolerance level. He must feel it is sincere. We must seek in divine love the remedy for all human discord, finding one's own in another's good. Little acts of kindness make for happiness. William Wordsworth felt this when he wrote, "The best portion of a good man's life, his little, nameless, unremembered acts of kindness and of love," unquote. Reflecting the support of God's grace, we support each other in every right endeavor. No one should be taken for granted or made to feel like a pack animal just working to stay even. So convinced is mortal mind that good is too good to be true, and what is highest and best, the most welcome, is in the realm of the unreal, that some never seem to find the right path until they've bruised their feet in all the wrong paths. It's all a matter of walking in the right path. To remedy a mistake, we must see it as a mistake about something divinely true, and then determine to see only what is true. Happiness is not a product of circumstances, but a great fact of life for time and eternity. When we understand this fact, circumstances can neither give anything nor take anything away. The body of soul embraces the universe. God is noumenon and phenomena. On page 229 of the first edition, Mrs. Eddy states, "Universal love is individual, embracing every idea from infinitesimal to infinity. And so of joy that issues from spirit, it is both individual and collective. The rich blessing of understanding your individuality in spirit and not matter, as soul and not sense, is that you may learn to follow Jesus in this saying, 'I and the Father, mind, are one.'" As we study and practice the truth taught in the textbook of Christian Science, that truth, abiding in consciousness, finally brings the realization of I and my Father are one. It causes the power of the divine consciousness to animate our being and will enable us to do the greater works. Page 229 states, "That man epitomizes the universe and is the body of God is apparent to me not only from the logic of truth, but in the phenomenon that is sometimes before my spiritual senses. We had made the discovery through spiritual sense that the body of soul embraces the universe, and that man is the full idea of life, substance, and intelligence." Unquote. Man is the name for that which the kingdom of God within you shadows forth. Our recognition of infinite good pours itself forth as individual being. Each idea is the whole since one infinite principle can have but one infinite reflection or full idea. Man is the visible manifestation of the invisible infinite. Our oneness with God constitutes our oneness with all being, all spiritual being. The moment we begin to discern that there is but one life and we are living that life, we are beginning to break out of the prison of mortality. In reality, you do not have an existence separate from God, your own right mind. Remember, you are principle, as she repeatedly states in the first edition, and what is called man is the reflex image of this principle that you will find yourself to be when you awaken from the Adam dream that human birth imposed on you, causing you to see through a glass darkly. Page 233, soul, your God-being and true identity, exists not without man and the universe, for it is never separated from the complex and reflex shadow of itself. Your mind is not separated from its expression. Webster says, reflex, directed back upon the mind or its operation, introspective, unquote. You gain the meaning of reflex from Mrs. Eddy's statement that the spiritual creation was the outgrowth, the emanation of principle's infinite self-containment and immortal wisdom. Infinite good contains all within itself. To be one with this infinitude of good, we need only detach mortal thought from its material conceptions. Then the idea we need is conceived and born of truth and love. It is born of truth that sees all angles at once and is always at one with love, the universal solvent that is the maximum of good, completeness, perfection, fulfillment. This is the reflex action of infinite good. Quote, when will mankind awake to know their present ownership of all good? Unquote. The honest, earnest Christian scientists find that because the destination is desirable, expectation speeds our progress. Toward this desideratum of finding ourselves to be the principle, finding ourselves to be mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love, expectation is often the first step in turning from the false material sense that hides our oneness with infinite good. Mortals must learn to love, instead of shrink from the lonely discipline that total commitment to spiritual integrity imposes. Then the cross, spiritual discipline, laying down the mortal, ceases to be a cross, because the truth becomes so subjective that we can instantly correct error. We can, with great expectancy, continually sense ourselves journeying towards vast untapped spiritual energies and resources, and towards that happy day when we fully realize the omnipresence of present perfection. Brief 12. The kingdom of God within you knows all. Do we really learn from books? On page 230 of the first edition, we read, understanding united principle to its idea. Life, truth, and love produced the understanding. Here again, remember that on page 77, she says, we shall be found love, life, and truth because we understand them. In other words, life, truth, love, the kingdom of God within you, produced the understanding. Unquote. If the child did not have the principle of mathematics already latent within his consciousness, he could not learn and understand it. The principle of mathematics is not in your dog, so he can't learn and understand it. In Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy has more than 100 references to learn and learning. We think we learn from books and other media, but we only grasp from a book what we bring to it. To a person who knows nothing of music, a Beethoven score would be meaningless. To a person unschooled in mathematics, the calculations of Einstein would mean nothing. We glean from the writings of Mary Baker Eddy only what study and cultivating of spiritual consciousness has made clear to our understanding. In order to understand music or mathematics, we have to culture and cultivate a musical or mathematical consciousness. It is the same if we want to understand spiritual existence. We must culture and cultivate a spiritual sense. Dedicated students who do have year after year continued to gain higher and higher revelations of Mary Baker Eddy's writings. Only ever higher glimpses of what is contained in the textbook and her other writings, together with the daily practice of them, can lead on the centuries. Nothing else can. With spiritual armor on, we must continue the line of mankind's triumphal march out of the wilderness, out of darkness, into light. God will give to all his soldiers of the cross the proper command, and under the banner of his love, and with the still small voice for the music of our march, we shall take step and march on, until the goal of goodness is assiduously earned and won. All of science and health is already within us. As we study, we recognize truth on the printed page or in the spoken word. Like Elisha in 2 Kings, we should ask, "What hast thou in thine house?" Elisha taught the penniless, distraught widow that she had all within her own house, her consciousness. Jesus called it thy closet, which typifies the sanctuary of spirit, in which we find infinite goods allness, not after death, but here and now. God is individual mind. God is also individual life, truth, and love, which again, remember, we are, and which bring forth their idea, just as the artist brings forth a picture. The artist produces the picture from his consciousness, from his mind, where the picture exists in its wholeness, and the artist puts this whole into every detail. A composer brings the symphony forth from his consciousness. Mary Baker Eddy brought forth her writing, The Second Coming of the Christ, from her God mind, the Christ mind, which lies latent in us all. She listened for God's voice, the voice of the kingdom of God, within her spiritual consciousness, and wrote down what she heard. In early papers, we read that Samuel Bancroft asked Mrs. Eddy, "What or who are your scholars studying in this science? If idea, what need of our studying? If not, what use of our studying?" Mrs. Eddy's interesting answer is in three parts. She ends the first part with the statement, "Studying is the process belief employs to gain the scientific man." In the second part, she makes it clear that man, like the earth, which receives light and heat from the sun, receives its light from the soul and hath none of its own. The idea has no need of studying. In the third part, she makes the all-important spiritual statement, "You, my students, are soul and not body, are God and not man." Holding intelligence thus, all error, sin, sickness, and death were destroyed. This is science. Belief, hypnotism, says the opposite of this. You should so hold yourself an infinite wisdom, love, and truth, that the idea of this would be ever present to you, and you would impart this idea as the birthright of soul. This is not teaching man, but rather it is destroying the teachings of man. Man originating in God is the product of spirit. Spirit is the only substance. On page 236 we read, "Gender, which is mental and means simply kind or sort, is embraced in spirit, else God, the kingdom of God within you, could never have shadowed forth out of itself the idea of male and female, which are qualities of thought. Supreme and universal mind embraced every form of the universe and gave it forth as spirit and not matter." and nothing was left for man or for matter to create after spirit had created it all. Unquote. Mind is the grand creator that forms everything out of spirit, the only substance. But there went up a mist from the earth. A misunderstanding caused man to think he was a mortal, a corporeal being. It caused him to think he was a creator who could create other mortals, other corporeal bodies, in his image and likeness. Mary Baker Eddy's discovery revealed human birth to be a universal hypnotic illusion from which the human mind must awaken before sickness, sin, death, and sorrow can be overcome. The understanding of the 7 synonyms for God, the kingdom of infinite good within our consciousness, reveals God as the only origin of man. And except for the interpretations of ignorance, the basis of all physical manifestations would have been discovered long ago and given a scientific explanation, would have been explained as universal hypnotic suggestions, a universal form of insanity. Page 238, quote, "Man originated in God. He is the product of spirit," unquote. What is spirit, you ask? We might express it like this. When we read Science and Health, that is the word of God, the letter. But when we live the truth, it is presenting that is spirit, reality, the Christ. Inspiration and revelation come from spirit, not from the flesh, illusion. In the first edition, Mrs. Eddy repeatedly affirms, we are spirit. And here she tells us, man is the product of spirit. He is the product of the kingdom of spirit, the kingdom of God within you. Hence, he is idea, even the body of soul. Because you are mind and spirit, all knowledge exists latently within you. Through spiritual education and the willingness to learn all things rightly, it can be drawn out of you, made consciously conscious to you. True being does not evolve in periods of time. It consists of timeless spiritual facts which can penetrate human consciousness at any instant. What hinders our accepting our divinity? On page 238 we read, God, infinite good, was and is, and man was and is infinite good's reflex shadow. Elsewhere in this edition she tells us, all formations are shadows of being, and we their soul and substance. Page 241 says, reproduction is the result not of seed or of soil, but of the principle of man and the universe that produces through intelligence. And on 242, science says man has neither birth, growth, decay, nor death, any more than do numbers and notes. Man is idea, spiritual instead of material. Human birth alone has hidden this great spiritual truth from us and caused us to believe the evidence of the 5 physical senses through which hypnotism channels its lies. If what is called man has neither birth nor death, is neither young nor old, then wherefore signalize the birth of him near born, asks Mrs. Eddy in Christ in Christmas. Every particle of spiritual instruction and light we get dissolves some measure of the vast illusion of which material sense, mortal mind, consists. Page 243 states, spirit alone fashions all things. Birth, decay, and death are a personal sense, an illusory sense of things. Man and the universe are complete and eternal in intelligence. Unquote. Error uncovered, analyzed, annihilated. Native nothingness of sin. We have seen that to realize our present perfection, we must work out of the sense of evil. We must put all sin, sickness, and sorrow under the feet of our God being and rise superior to them. Mankind can learn to do this since all that is not godlike is merely illusion. It is all a matter of learning our present divine identity as we put off the old man and die daily to the belief of a selfhood apart from infinite good. In proportion as we become aware of reality, of our spiritual identity, and bend every effort to attain perfect love in thought, word, and deed, we gain the goal of goodness. Our consciousness becomes one with divine love. Mrs. Eddy writes, "The birth out of matter into spirit is not gained by argument or by force. It is growth hourly. It is forever getting nearer love that is love, universal divine presence and power, alias might and dominion, first over the body, then its reflection is dominion over all the earth." Often people who had an interview with Mrs. Eddy came away saying, "I have never in all my life felt so loved." Mrs. Eddy saw only God's presence in all that confronted her. Often, too, people came away from a visit with her completely occupied for days thereafter with the great illumination of the reality of spirit and the nothingness of matter. Our goal is to realize our present perfection as love. Our aim is to actually realize that right now I am that I am, which is called God. This must be indisputably true, since the kingdom of God is within our spiritual consciousness. As we gain the spirit of truth, it leads us to this goal, leads us into truth, to goodness, analyzing, uncovering, and annihilating the belief in the last enemy, human birth. As the Christ science works in us, we, step by step, identify ourselves with mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. As we more and more come face to face with the sad fact that we are not punished for our sins, but by them, we begin to lay off all carnal traits. This is the Christ working in us. How do we become a good mathematician other than by turning to the principle and learning the rules? As we do, ignorance is laid off. Our infinite, harmonious, Christ-expressing selfhood represents infinite good's fundamental will to express itself. It is self-existent and self-expressed, and as we learn the principle of our being and obey the rules, all the truth and beauty of God's creation is ours and us. Second degree, the transitional qualities. Tolerance and love for one another come under what Mrs. Eddy calls in Science and Health, page 115, the second degree. There she lists such qualities as humanity, honesty, affection, compassion, hope, faith, meekness, temperance, and calls them transitional qualities. These qualities are the way the Christ first comes to the flesh to translate humanity out of the Adam dream illusion. They begin to break the bonds of slavery to the physical, the unreal, which includes passions and appetites, fear, depraved will, self-justification, pride, envy, deceit, hatred, revenge, all of which are sin, leading to sickness and death, and all of which are induced by hypnotic suggestion. Today, even physicians, that is, the most advanced ones, are telling patients they have a choice of either changing their thinking and lifestyle or undergoing an expensive as well as painful operation. A famous doctor told his patients to pull down a mental curtain each night, shutting out the past, and pull down another curtain, shutting out tomorrow and all worries. It has been said that the two thieves Jesus was crucified between symbolized regret of the past and worry or fear of the future. St. Paul advised forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. Then, loving God supremely and your neighbor as yourself, you will safely bear your cross up to the throne of everlasting glory. For most of Earth's people, happiness is made up of the countless instances of pleasure-giving kindnesses, of minute fractions, the little charities, perhaps soon forgotten, of a smile, a kind look, a kiss, or a heartfelt compliment. These are transitional qualities that beckon us toward the spiritual, toward the reality which is expressed in wisdom, purity, spiritual understanding, spiritual power, love, health, holiness. All that is real is right. In nearly every case, a person's deepest need is for a feeling of self-esteem, a feeling of being needed. Being both loving and useful is an unbeatable combination. Therefore, make a constant effort to give others encouragement and show them that you had confidence in them, that you love what is true and right about them. Scientifically, Christian love is a radiant, powerful, life-giving emotion, charged with healing power, both to the one who learns to love and the one who is loved. We learn it by practice, by practicing the conviction that every individual is endowed with all the qualities and attributes of God. We learn it by keeping our rendezvous with the kingdom of God within our own consciousness. Being convinced of this truth sustained a friend who was held up at gunpoint. The robber asked for her purse, which she handed over to him. She said she had no fear and knew that in spite of the appearance confronting her, the robber's mind was God. Therefore, he could only bless her because every living thing lives only to bless every other living thing in one grand brotherhood. The robber returned her purse and quickly walked away. As more and more individuals learn their true identity as God beings, experiences like this will be commonplace, and robberies, along with other evils, will eventually cease. Our only foe is that which lurks within our own individual thought. This is wonderfully explained in Mrs. Eddy's article, Love Your Enemies. Jesus said, "A man's foes shall be they of his own household." Why? Because when we know all mankind as spiritual, as God beings, there can be no foe, no opposition. Students of mathematics find no opposition when discussing the multiplication table. Everyone agrees that 2 times 2 equals 4, because in mathematics we all go out from the same principle. When the principle of life is learned in this same way, there'll be no enemies poised to ambush us as we strive toward a realization of the perfection we already are. Doing good is life in action. It is being the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Salt doesn't insist upon its own flavor, but brings out the natural goodness of all it comes in contact with. Doing good acts on the realization, first, that until mankind sees spiritually that each one already has all, there is a universal yearning to be first with someone. In reality, we are always first with God, divine principle. Everyone, until he grows to see that he is one with infinite good, needs to feel there is someone to whom he can turn for strength and encouragement. This is why St. Paul counseled, "Bear ye one another's burdens." Which doesn't mean, of course, share ye one another's delusions, as a friend once said. There is a basic, a generic hunger to feel needed, feel urgently needed, to feel there is a reason, a purpose for our existence. Love impels good works. Love is greatly needed and must be had to mark the way in divine science. Love must be the governing motive and principle. In the decade of the 80s, time came to rival money as the commodity people crave most. Therefore, time spent being a good Samaritan, ministering to a neighbor's need, may be the most precious thing we can give. In this world, we may pass through a baptism of fire, but no risk is so stupendous as neglecting the opportunities to forewarn and forearm our fellow mortals against the evil which, if seen, can be destroyed, as our leader warns. This is being salt, and the wonderful reward is that every time you help someone else, you're helping yourself, since there is but one I or us. obeying the admonition, look not every man on his own things, but every man look also on the things of others, in honor preferring one another, helps to make us the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Mrs. Eddy wrote, "How good and pleasant a thing it is to seek not so much thine own as another's good, to sow by the wayside for the way-weary, and trust love's recompense of love." Dr. George Ritchie, in Return from Tomorrow, writes, "God is busy building a race of men who know how to love. I believe that the fate of the earth itself depends on the progress we make, and that the time is now very short." Brief 13, Bible's chapter 1, Genesis, presents God's nature. Mary Baker Eddy removed the mist. Mary Baker Eddy discovered the science of creation, the science of creative ability. In her chapter, Genesis, God is presented as good, as wholly impersonal good. Otherwise, it is not the true God. She indicates that it is not so much personal evil as personal good, namely so-called Christianity, that has become the active resistance to science. Quote, "When a thing is wholly wicked, it is wholly nothing, having no foundation in truth. But when something is partially true and partially false, the claim of its partial good blinds it to its partial falsity. For the same fountain sendeth not forth sweet water and bitter. So personal good is on the same plane with personal evil." Unquote. Elsewhere in the first edition, Mrs. Eddy indicates that personal good is little better than personal evil. Both are illusions. This is what Jesus was teaching when he said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." Spiritual understanding destroys the delusion that mortal mind and mortal body are real entities. But you will never lose your true identity, since as the mortal seeming is dropped, the conscious awareness of your infinite spiritual being is gained. When the evidence before the physical senses is corrected by divine science, the false picture disappears. As you become convinced that the divine mind, the only mind, which is therefore your mind, made everything perfect, this conviction acts upon the so-called human mind through truth, leads the human mind to relinquish all error, and to find the divine mind to be the only mind, and the healer of sin, disease, and death. What is the malpractice Mrs. Eddy warns of in her statement, "Unless malpractice is exposed by Christian scientists, the world will be little benefited by Christian science," unquote. We malpractice every time we judge by appearances and see a sick, sinful, or discordant mortal mind where we should be seeing God's presence. How do we overcome malpractice? First, by seeing that since God is the principle of life, the Father, Mother of all, we are brethren, the offspring of that infinite good biblically called Father. When you realize that God is your Father and my Father, and that we are therefore brethren, you can't help loving me, and knowing that all which is this infinite good or Father has is mine and is yours. This begins to break the malpractice. We are all the full reflection of the one Father, infinite good. This makes a bond between you and all with whom you have dealings. As you recognize this bond that infinite good has established and bring yourself into obedience and oneness with it, it operates for you. Discerning this, your attitude toward me changes, and my attitude toward you changes. This holds true throughout your entire relationship with others. Perceiving this breaks the malpractice. This has nothing to do with the human, where if you're good to someone, they'll be good to you. And as you are to others, so they will be to you, This is folly. We all know that in the human this isn't true. Also, if you believe some are good and some are bad, or everyone is both good and bad, this is your belief. And you suffer from this belief because it comes back to you under the law. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. But in the spiritual, when you have a feeling of heartfelt love toward all you deal with, that love that you pour out must come back to you. As ye sow, so shall ye reap. The only way to stop erroneous reaping is to stop erroneous sowing. Erroneous sowing takes place only in our consciousness. It is determined by what we see out there. Am I willing to discern that you are the Christ? Or will I continue to malpractice and judge according to human experience that says you are a mortal? Choose ye this day whom you will serve, truth or error. Break the malpractice. Cast thy bread upon the waters, knowing that what you are looking at is the Christ, and it'll come back to you. For the measure ye meet shall be measured unto you again. This truth, this love that you pour out to me, gives you sovereign power to think and act rightly toward me. And I begin to feel this love, this truth of being. Why? Because there is only one mind. And whatever of truth is taking place in your mind, I feel, because I have the same mind. Whatever truth the practitioner holds in consciousness, the patient responds to. This is the great spiritual truth Mary Baker Eddy taught her students. During the 100 years following her revelation and discovery, millions of healings followed as she founded this truth in human consciousness. When you know that you and the Father are one, and that all that the Father has is yours, anyone who reaches out to your consciousness receives that divine truth, because it all takes place in the one mind. In reality, no one has a mind separate from infinite good. The truth you are actually knowing blesses all who are receptive. And this is why the love that you pour out comes back to you. There is only one. There is not God and man. There is only God, infinite good, expressing itself as man, as what looks like you. Whatever of spiritual truth is operating in your consciousness is felt by me or anyone receptive, because there is only one consciousness, one mind, and it is this truth that will return to bless you. The truth that you know, the still small voice, the God in the midst of you, compels you to act toward all with kindness and justice. And the truth you are knowing about me, I will respond to. Awakening to the truth of being, you realize that all evil is an activity of the carnal mind and is no part of you. You are always the Christ, the Son of the living God. Therefore, any evil, sickness, sin, old age, poverty, etc., that appears to be in me or you is only an illusion which material sense, the carnal mind, or hypnotism presents. It can no longer fool you, because your own true identity and that of your fellow man has been revealed to you. Infinite good, the kingdom of God within you, is not the author of discord. As we grasp this truth, we stop malpracticing each other. We stop thinking of ourselves and others as mortals. As human beings, we do little besides malpractice our fellow man. We see error continuously. We see ourselves as corporeal bodies, discordant, poverty-stricken, sinning, sick, old, etc. This is what Mrs. Eddy called malpractice, and said it must be overcome if the world is to benefit from Christian Science. We overcome malpractice and free ourselves of the effects of malpractice as we consciously stop malpracticing. Treatment consists of knowing the truth. Jesus, in effect, said that we suffer only from not knowing the truth, and that if we know the truth will make us free. Through the study of the writings of Mary Baker Eddy, we learn to behold in science the perfect man, right where sinning mortal man appears to mortals. Dividing the first record from the fictitious second. On page 246 of the first edition, we read, "Had the biblical record divided the first statement of creation from the fabulous, unreal second, by saying, 'After truth's creation, we will name the opposite belief of error regarding the origin of the universe and man,' it would have separated the tares from the wheat, and we should have reached sooner the spiritual significance of the Bible. We are repeatedly assured in the first five verses of the second chapter of Genesis that God, infinite good, had finished its work before Adam, illusion, was created. That male and female, together with all the hosts of heaven and earth, were already made. Therefore we have the authority of Scripture for denying a second creation or a single formation by matter. The history of Adam is a description of error. Error, aggressive mental suggestion, said to Adam, 'Believe in me, and I will make you as gods.' But this was only hypnotism deceiving him. Believing in the serpent made man, not as one with God, but as a creator of flesh, blood, and bones, a creator of corporeal man, whose breath is in his nostrils, whose lot was, 'In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread.' This false sense of creation, ending in sin, sickness, and death, is, ultimately, but the producer of corpses. It is untrue, unreal, illusion, only, whereby man becomes the most absolutely weak and inharmonious creature in the universe. In the Adam dream, we are asked to fork over our divine inheritance of all good. That is ours, here and now. But through spiritual education, this cruel fraud is destined to pass away, just as 2 times 2 equals 5 passes away, when we learn it equals 4 and not 5. Education in truth will never become as expensive as ignorance. Implicit in all Mrs. Eddy's teaching is the nothingness of mortal birth and death. They are illusions. She taught there are no sexual organs, only in belief, for all is created, and man or woman are not creators. Destroy the belief of sexuality or its results. Take thought into its upper departments. In the not-distant future, this evil of human birth will become man's greatest challenge. It will become the priority addressed by spiritual leaders in all nations. Already more and more thinkers are becoming strangely reluctant to applaud human birth, knowing it only leads to suffering, sorrow, death. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, 'And now, O Father, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was, before this dream of human birth, this hypnotic state overtook me.' Ever more and more thinkers are disturbed by the ongoing vision of ministers and politicians engulfed in the most anguishing spiritual poverty, circling the wagons to continue the defense of human procreation.